Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed. It's been a tough week. The idyllic town of Charlottesville, Virginia, was racked by anger, hate, violence, injury, and death. Intentional. Our president and staff tried to make sense of it and thereby inflamed both sides, essentially everyone. There have been several major staff shakeups with the White House, upsetting many, pleasing many, yet fostering uncertainty and trepidation to most. Acrimony reigns, and there's plenty of finger-pointing to go around. The week closed out with a major terrorist incident along Las Ramblas in Barcelona, Spain, killing 14 and injuring nearly 100, followed by another car attack just a few miles in the seaside resort village of Cambrils, and then a knife attack in Finland that killed 2 and injured 8, targeting women. Yesterday, thousands marched down Las Ramblas carrying signs saying, "Barcelona is united against terrorism," and chanting, "No tinc por, no tengo miedo," I am not afraid. And all of this follows a week of brinksmanship threats of nuclear war with Korea just the week before. How do we respond to such chaos? What do we do as faithful Christians when the world is crazy? When fingers are pointed in all directions, fingers of accusation and fingers of annihilation on the nuclear button. How do we live in such tension, and what are our actions to be? In our gospel message today, we hear Jesus saying that what comes out of the mouth is what defiles a person. It is not following rules of food or fasting or what day you worship, but rather what comes out of the mouth, because it proceeds from the heart, our interiors. And then we learn of the Canaanite woman who was rejected by Jesus. Yes, Jesus, the acceptor who embraces everybody and welcomes everybody in, rejects her. Because she was an other? A Canaanite from a land that was an ancestral enemy of Israel. As such, her presence would have represented immorality, godlessness, and ritual uncleanness by Jewish standards. She couldn't really get Jesus' attention until she persisted because of her faith. It took multiple times, but out of her mouth came faith and persistence. And then Jesus responded, "O woman, great is your faith," and her daughter was healed. The manifestations of faith are prayer and good works. What comes out of our mouths? Let me start with a word about prayer and a story. It's from the book Why Christians Sin by J.K. Johnston. The tale is told about a small town that had been historically dry, you know, no liquor. But then a local businessman decided to build a tavern. A group of Christians from a local church were concerned and planned an all-night prayer meeting to ask God to intervene. It just so happened that shortly thereafter, lightning struck the bar and it burned to the ground. The owner of the bar sued the church, claiming that the prayers of the congregation were responsible. But the church hired a lawyer to argue in court that they were not responsible. The presiding judge, and I know we have a few lawyers and judges here, the presiding judge, after his initial review of the case, stated that No matter how this case comes out, one thing is clear. The tavern owner believes in prayer and the Christians do not. So what about our prayer? What do we believe? How much do we believe? And what do we pray for? For bars to burn down? For other people to suffer? Prayer is the manifestation of our faith. If you think about it, if we didn't believe in God, we wouldn't pray at all. And the deeper our faith, the more faith is at the core of our being, the more prayer is a part of us. The 16th century Spanish Dominican monk Luis of Granada said that prayer, properly speaking, is a petition which we make to God for the things which pertain to our salvation, but it is also taken in another broader sense to mean any raising of the heart to God. I like that. Any raising of the heart to God. That's prayer. Prayer can be spoken, silent, contemplative, meditative, active, passive, private, communal. Through the ages, philosophers have tried to draw boundaries around the definition and practice of prayer. The Stoics saying that only spiritual benefits should be sought in prayer. The Middle Platonists that we should pray for virtue. Clement of Alexandria saying that prayer was significant only as a converse with God. And Thomas Aquinas telling us that in prayer we are not to try to force God's will, but rather to lift our desires to God and strive to be in cooperation with God. Book of Common Prayer examples that are familiar to us are from our evening prayer dismissal, when it says, "Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine." And the prayer of St. Chrysostom, "Fulfill now, O Lord, the desires and petitions of thy servants as may be best for us." I learned to pray, to really pray, right here in St. Mary's Chapel with a number of you. Many were the times that I was here for morning prayer and evening prayer. You know, it's a little like exercise. The more you do it, the more you lean into it, and the more you learn about it, the easier it becomes. Richard Rohr, that very profound and prolific Roman Catholic Franciscan, writes, "I can see why a number of saints spoke of prayer itself as simply receiving the ever-benevolent gaze of God, returning it in kind, mutually gazing, and finally recognizing that it is one single gaze received and bounced back." The Hindus call this mutual beholding darshan. So what comes out of our mouth? How do we pray? What do we pray for? The Canaanite woman was persistent and was rewarded with, "O woman, great is your faith," and her daughter was healed. Prayer is the manifestation of our faith. God is immutable, unchangeable, omnipotent, omniscient. I have been taught that when we pray, we aren't changing God's mind, but rather God is changing us. H. Stanley Jones has written, "Prayer is surrender, surrender to the will of God and cooperation with that will. If I throw out a boat hook from the boat and catch hold of the shore and pull, do I pull the shore to me or do I pull myself to the shore? Prayer is not pulling God to my will, but the aligning of my will to the will of God." When we pray for a situation to change or for a person to change, that says that I am right and the other is wrong. What if that other person is praying for the opposite? Abraham Lincoln was asked during the Civil War whether he thought God was on the side of the Union or on the side of the Confederacy. He replied that he didn't know, but that he hoped he was on God's side. We need to be on God's side. I don't know whether you here are on the side of the Union or the Confederacy, Democrat or Republican, conservative or liberal, promote or detract Trump. Undoubtedly, we have a number of both here today. What comes out of our mouth and heart should be praying for others, not against them. In times of chaos, particularly, we should be praying to be aligned with God. Chaos, danger, in the wake of terrorism, is the time to sit down with God in prayer. Whether it's in St. Mary's Chapel, at your home, on a walk in the woods. Yes, stand up for righteousness and justice and respect and tolerance, but also sit down with God. You know, praying in times of crisis is kind of like when we were a kid and fell and scraped our knee or had a bike wreck We went running back to our mother's lap for care and comfort. We are no different as adults. If we don't run to God's lap when we are troubled or distressed, where else are we to go? When crisis comes, sit down, nestle in with God. Have a cup of tea with your friend God and rest in God's loving arms. That prayer is not about changing the world or changing others, but about changing ourselves, our hearts, and our minds. What comes out of our mouths should be gazing at God. The Book of Common Prayer blessing at the end of the Holy Eucharist talks about the peace that passes all understanding. Indeed, resting in God in prayer brings a peace that passes all understanding, and that peace is there for the taking. The other thing about our lives in the face of world chaos is the response we have and the mood we create. I call it no hate. Archbishop Desmond Tutu says, "When we are mean to one another, God sheds a tear." Wouldn't we rather think of God smiling? Our current presiding bishop, Michael Curry, has a great poster out with a picture of him on it, dressed in his clericals and smiling, and the caption on it says, "If it isn't about love, it isn't about God." What comes out of our mouth should be love, not hate. There was a story in the news late last night about a 19-year-old woman named Imani, who was at the demonstrations in Boston yesterday. Mostly peaceful, but there was plenty of hate with videos of people pushing, shoving, and yelling at one another, hating the other. Imani helped the supporters of the other side navigate through the crowd as they were being yelled at and spit on by her own people. She was protecting the others against her own and at her risk. She didn't meet hate with hate. Instead, she showed love and care as Jesus showed us. Anytime we treat another with hate or contempt, are mean to another in conversation, or respond hatefully to an email, Facebook post, or tweet, we are not doing the will of God. And God sheds a tear. Yes, we must stand up against evil and hate, but there is a loving way to do that we are to search out. For we are all God's children, good and bad and in between. Anytime we espouse hate, we make someone else an other, and we therefore become someone else's other. It's a bad spiral. Does God want that? Should that be what comes out of our mouths? When the world is in chaos, whether it's our small world or the bigger world, let what comes out of our mouths reflect our hearts with love and prayer, and let us settle in with God, sit gazing back and forth, and be comforted by God's unconditional love. A short poem by Bill Hybels goes like this. If the request is wrong, God says no. If the timing is wrong, God says slow. If you are wrong, God says grow. But if the request is right, the timing is right, and you are right, God says go. May love and prayer come out of our mouths, and may God then say to us, go, and do likewise with love. Amen.